You're listening to Get Fed Today, one podcast designed to provide the Christian a hearty Bible study 5 days a week. While our mission is to showcase a variety of different Bible teachers, if you want to access more content from a particular pastor, simply listen to the end of the episode for additional information. On behalf of the entire team at Get Fed Today, it is our prayer that today's episode encourages your growth in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Hey, and not just a Merry Christmas, but as our theme is for this year, a classic Christmas to you. And it is. Isn't it a classic Santa Barbara Christmas out there, 75 degrees and sunny? That is a classic Santa Barbara Christmas. Now, I don't know what it means to you when I say that phrase, classic Christmas. I suppose it means something a little bit different to each individual person here. I can tell you what it means for me. Growing up as a boy in Southern California, our family had our own Christmas traditions. I came from sort of a large family. I've got two brothers and two sisters, so there were five of us children altogether. So you can imagine that Christmas was a busy and an exciting time. And I remember most pointedly on Christmas Eve, waiting, being together as a family, and endlessly pestering our parents if we could open up presents on Christmas Eve. But you know what? That was absolutely forbidden in our house. In our house, you did not open presents until Christmas Day. That's just how it was in the Guzik home. And so we got used to it, and we got used to the idea that you really didn't do anything until Christmas morning. Christmas morning, you can imagine, we children, we woke up at the first light, and we ran into the living room. And the night before, there would have been a few packages under the Christmas tree, but when we woke up and saw it on Christmas morning, the room would be filled with packages. As you can imagine, five kids, there'd be a lot of stuff. And there'd be so many things for us to open and enjoy and celebrate, but you couldn't do anything until Mom and Dad got up. Do you remember that? So we waited and we waited and we waited. We were permitted to raid our stockings before Mom and Dad got up. But we couldn't open a single present until they did. And so you would kind of make sort of unintentionally, intentionally loud noises, hoping it might get them out of bed a little bit earlier. But when they did, we all got up, and it was a beautiful, beautiful time of Christmas, a time of family, a time of fun, a time of real joy for a young boy like myself. Well, things changed a little bit for me as to what a classic Christmas is when I got married. Because as many of you know, I married a wonderful Swedish woman named Ingalill. And we brought over and sort of adopted most of her Swedish Christmas customs. And I'll tell you one of the main reasons why we did that. Because in Sweden, they celebrate Christmas on Christmas Eve, and you get to open presents on Christmas Eve. That was a win-win situation for me. And so I can tell you that right now, I've already had a marvelous Christmas dinner. I'm a little bit woozy standing in front of you right now. I've eaten so much here this afternoon. And when I'm done, I'm going to go home, and together with our family and even our little granddaughter, we're going to open up gifts and have a wonderful time. But that's what a traditional or classic Christmas is for us growing up. But I do have to tell you, the most memorable Christmas we ever had in the Guzik household happened 26 years ago tonight. Because 26 years ago tonight, my wife was so busy preparing an elaborate Swedish Christmas dinner, not only for our own little family, but for several guests that we had invited also. But here's the thing. She was 8.5 months pregnant. Now, no big deal. The baby wasn't due for another couple weeks, and so she worked hard, but boy, she was just tired. I mean, she had a big load to carry in front of her, and she had a big job to do all night long. Well, wouldn't you know it, that night she started feeling the labor contractions. And before we knew it, we were in celebrating the birth of our second son, our second child, our firstborn son, Nathan, 26 years ago on Christmas Day. Isn't that beautiful? You can imagine that made for a very, very memorable Christmas for us in the Guzik family. And so I guess what I'm just trying to say is that different generations have a different idea of what makes for a classic Christmas. I mean, for me, the toys were kind of like a Rock'em Sock'em robot and a baseball glove and a slot car set that seemed to break all too soon. We got the Etch-a-Sketch out and the new bikes. And every year, we got pajamas from my grandmother. Does that relate to anybody? Every year, our pajamas came from our grandmother. Well, that's what it was for my generation. You know, for Ingalill, when she grew up in Sweden, a traditional Christmas was, of course, about the gifts, but it was also about a wonderful big meal together on Christmas Eve. It was about a celebration that lasted several days. It was about family time, and it was also about, I don't know if you know this about the Swedes, but one of their biggest Christmas traditions that they have together as a nation is since the 1960s, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Christmas Eve, they show Donald Duck and Mickey Mouse cartoons. And 80% of the nation watches it. That's a classic Christmas for them. And it got me thinking, well, what about my own children? What are they going to be their classic Christmas memories? Well, I think about my kids. I mean, they got the Fisher Prize and the Polly Pocket and the Pokemon and the Super Nintendo and all those toys that were current when they grew up. Then you think about it a few generations down the way. What's it going to be like in 20, 30 years? In 20 and 30 years, you're going to have some of the people who are young here today telling their youngsters, well, you know what? When we were young, we didn't go to grandma's house on jetpacks. When I was a boy, we didn't cut the Christmas turkey with a laser. We used a knife. That's what it's going to be like in 20 or 30 years. So friends, what is a classic Christmas? Is a classic Christmas something that's from Victorian England with Charles Dickens and A Christmas Carol? Is a classic Christmas more Courier and Ives? Is it more a Coca-Cola Santa? Is it more The Night Before Christmas? Is it iconic toys? Is it special foods? Is it just sort of a family time? A classic Christmas actually changes from age to age, from place to place, from generation to generation. So I think we could all understand, if you want a real classic Christmas, where do you got to go? You got to go back to Bethlehem, and you got to go back to the first Christmas, where Jesus was born as a baby in Bethlehem. Would you think about that Christmas with me for a moment as truly being a classic? I mean, after all, it shows us something about what a classic Christmas is. It shows us that a classic Christmas has a special place for family. Isn't that what Christmas was all about? I mean, it wasn't just Mary, but it was Joseph and Mary and baby Jesus. And even though they were a little family, even though they were separated from their family up north in Nazareth, there they were, a little family, experiencing the birth of that firstborn son in a very special way. But if classic Christmas is all about family, it's sort of a different family, isn't it? Don't you think that the family of Joseph and Mary was a little bit complicated? I mean, there they were with an engagement that was about to be broken off, but then came back again by divine intervention, and there was sort of this embarrassing or suspicious pregnancy, and then there was the hurried marriage, and then leaving out of town right away to Bethlehem. Believe me, this was a complicated family. Some of you know what that is like around Christmas time, don't you? You know what it's like to have a complicated family. Maybe everybody doesn't get along in your family. Maybe there's some blended family dynamics that you got to work through. But listen, that doesn't disqualify you from having a classic Christmas at all, because that goes all the way back to Bethlehem. I could also say this, that a classic Christmas has a special place for celebration, because if anything marked Bethlehem, it was marked by celebration. After all, was there not a choir of angels celebrating the birth of Jesus? Now, it's true they did it to some obscure shepherds in a field, but there was celebration. And those shepherds went in an excited way, and they went all through the village of Bethlehem and told people that Jesus is born. It was a time of celebration. Your celebration that you have for Christmas, enjoy it, and God bless you for enjoying it. God bless you for the smiles around the table and the joy at opening packages and the wonderful thing that there is in just giving something to somebody else. That's part of a classic Christmas. If you go all the way back to Bethlehem, you also notice this, that a classic Christmas is for the down and out. Isn't that what the shepherds were? You and I might have sort of an iconic vision of what a shepherd was like in biblical times. We think just of King David reciting that great psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd." And it's true, that's part of what it means to be a shepherd. There's no doubt that that aspect is in there. But don't forget this, friends, that by the time that Jesus was born, being a shepherd was actually a disreputable profession. Shepherds were thought to be thieves, and everybody sort of locked their doors when the shepherds came through town because things had a way of disappearing from houses. No, even the down and out and the otherwise outcast from society, they have a place in a classic Christmas. But not only the down and out, I would say also that the high and mighty have a place in a classic Christmas, don't they? Those wise men that came, they were men of authority. They were men of royal bearing and standing. They came and they were part. You see, everybody can take part in what we would call a classic Christmas, down and out, high and mighty, young and old. They were all there at a classic Christmas. But look, you know I haven't even touched on the most obvious thing, have I? What is it that has to be at the center of a classic Christmas? It's Jesus the Christ himself. There he is. I trust that many or most of you have a nativity set at home. If not, you certainly know what one is. There's the little statues. And there's the statue of Joseph, and there's the statue of Mary. There's the shepherds, and there's the animals. There's the angel, and there's the onlookers, and there's Mary. And who is it that's at the center of that little nativity scene? It's Jesus. And when you set up your nativity scene properly, every eye, every face is focused in on Jesus, is it not? You'd never set up a nativity set with Joseph having his back to Jesus, or the shepherds looking off in the distance. No. They're all with a bended expression focused in on Jesus. And that's just sort of an artistic representation to make this point that a classic Christmas is focused on Jesus, and well, it should be. Ladies and gentlemen, as Christians, or maybe I should say simply, I as a Christian make an astounding claim. The claim is simply this, that Jesus Christ was different than every person who has ever lived on this earth and ever will live. That Jesus the Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, was more than a man. That he was and he is God with humanity added to his deity. Now, I have to admit that that's an astounding claim, isn't it? It really is shocking to claim such a thing about a historical personage. Nevertheless, it is exactly what the Bible itself tells us. Let me read to you from Matthew chapter 1, starting at verse 22. It says, "So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us." Or I could read to you from Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 3, where the Apostle Paul wrote this, "His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David, according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection of the dead." You see, it's not only his wonderful birth in Bethlehem that establishes his credentials. Especially, it's his empty tomb in Jerusalem some 33 years later. So when we consider Jesus, it's not like asking for your opinion about Alexander the Great or Abraham Lincoln or some other notable man from the history of the world. No, history has seen many great men and many great women, but it has only seen one God-man, Jesus the Messiah. And I know that that's an amazing, some people would even say a crazy thing to say about a man, but this great man, Jesus the Messiah, has impacted and changed the world more than any other human being. Years ago, a man named Fred Bach expressed this powerfully in a piece titled One Solitary Life. Let me read it to you, and some of you are going to recognize this. It's a beautiful little piece. Ready? Born in an obscure village, he was the child of a peasant woman. He worked in a carpenter's shop until he was 30 years old, and then for 3 years, he traveled around the country, stopping long enough to talk and to listen to people and to help where he could. He never wrote a book. He never had a hit record. He never went to college. He never ran for public office. He never had a family or owned a house. He never did any of the things that normally accompany greatness. He had no credentials but himself. But when he was only 33 years old, the tide of public opinion turned against him, and his friends rejected him. When he was arrested, very few people wanted anything to do with him. After the trial, he was executed by the state with two admitted thieves, and only because a generous friend offered his own cemetery plot was there any place to bury him. This all happened 20 years ago, and yet today he is the leading figure of the human race and the ultimate example of love. Now, it is no exaggeration to say that all the armies that have ever marched, all the navies that have ever set sail, and all the rulers that have ever ruled, all the kings that have ever reigned on this earth, all put together, have not affected the life of man on earth like this one solitary life. I believe it, friends, not only as a matter of personal opinion, but I think as a matter of demonstrated truth. Now you must let him impact your life. You see, who Jesus is and what he came to be, the real meaning of a classic Christmas, it's not just some distant theoretical thing. It matters for you. One of the audacious claims that Jesus made was that it matters what you and I think of him. Isn't that a strange claim to make? Could you imagine Abraham Lincoln saying that it really mattered what a person 10 generations hence would think of him? But Jesus said such a thing. He said this, that it matters whether we accept him or reject him. This is what he said at Mark chapter 8, verse 38. For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. It matters. It matters for making you right with God. It matters for peace and for blessing upon your family. It matters for time and eternity. Let me add one more aspect of a classic Christmas. A classic Christmas is a time to appreciate the moment. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, listen, Christmas is sort of a strange thing because for us, it comes every year, doesn't it? We know when it's coming. We see it on the calendar. We prepare for it. The retailers prepare for it. The schools prepare for it. The churches prepare for it. Everybody prepares for Christmas. We bring out the nativity scene every year. We remember it every single year. Yet a classic Christmas, the very first Christmas in Bethlehem, please remember, it only happened once. Just once. You see, our son Nathan, who was born on Christmas Day, he grew up. He didn't live the rest of his life in the maternity ward. No, he grew up, and that majestic, momentous day when he was born, it was a day that passed, a moment that passed. Well, Jesus grew up, and he lived a sinless life. And he taught, and he healed like no other person ever has. And he died on a cross, not only as a martyr making a sacrifice, but as a substitute to bear our sin and to perfectly please God the Father in our place. And then Jesus rose from the dead, and then Jesus ascended to heaven, and there he lives and he reigns, and he's gonna come again. My friends, that first Christmas, the truly most classic Christmas, it was just a moment. It was one day or just a few days, because time moves on and the moments move on and the memory remains and may be celebrated, but the moment moves on and the moments of your life move on. And friends, when you tell yourself again and again, I'll give my life to Jesus later, the moments slip away until it's too late. Today is the day. Today is the day for you to genuinely have a classic Christmas and to put Jesus at the center of your life. In a few moments, I'm going to pray a prayer, and I'm going to invite you to put your trust in Jesus Christ, in who he is, and especially what he did for you on the cross as a sin-bearing substitute. And for some of you, it's going to be your opportunity to put your trust in Jesus, something you know you should do, and perhaps you know you should have done a long time ago, but now is your moment. For others of you, perhaps it'll be a moment for you to renew your faith and to reconnect with Jesus all over again, but it's something that you need to do. I read a funny thing this last week. I read a news report from New Jersey about a security service that was offering free GPS tracking to churches for their baby Jesus nativity scenes. Because apparently, and I'd never heard of this before, maybe you have, there's been a rash of thefts of baby Jesuses from nativity scenes. I don't know what people do with them when they steal them. And might I say, if you have a stolen baby Jesus, bring it back. But apparently the service is offering a GPS service where they will actually implant a GPS inside that baby Jesus figurine. And when it leaves, there's an alert by text, message, or email given to somebody responsible at the church. And they can track down baby Jesus and find him and get him back and put him where he needs to be. Friends, can I simply tell you, you don't need a GPS to find Jesus. He's right here. He's all at a classic Christmas. And there is no one formula for putting your trust in Jesus, but it does involve at least three elements. You need to see your need. You need to set your faith upon Jesus and not upon yourself. And thirdly, there has to be an aspect of surrendering your life unto him. This is what God wants you to do, to see your need, to set your faith upon Jesus Christ, and to surrender your life to him. I'm going to invite you to do so even now in the midst of the prayer I pray. So let's pray together now. God, I thank you for every person here this afternoon. I thank you for the beauty of this venue and the goodness of celebrating Jesus and his birth for us. We thank you that Jesus came in the ultimate classic Christmas, and that not only he was born, but he lived, he died, and he rose again. And I ask now, Father, that you would move among us by the presence of your Spirit, and that you would speak to people all over this room about their need to recognize you as the Lord and as the Savior of their life.
Thank you for listening to Get Fed Today. Today's sermon comes from Pastor David Guzik. If you enjoy the message, you can access more of Pastor David's teaching ministry by visiting enduringword.com.